As long as that other, God will let us prosper in this world, but it can't get in the way of the important part. And if he thinks it's going to get in the way, he may not give it. But I know you will not go hungry. You will not go unclothed or want bread if you're following the Lord. Oh, you may be under the threat of wanting bread. I mean starving. No. I'm not talking where you're just like, oh, we're down to macaroni and cheese. Or, oh, we're down to, you know, or I missed a meal or two. I missed a day or two or three. When God preserves us to the day of judgment, we know he's with us. You know, Paul was in a situation where he thought, he trusted that God would deliver him. You know, and as experiences go on, I'll tell you what, and I see this a lot in myself, that I have a lot of feelings that come on me. But I know in myself, I believe he's going to deliver me. And I trust him. But sometimes I feel like he isn't. I feel like, no, he's not. You know, I can never believe it. There's a difference between feelings and thoughts and believe. What you believe, what you feel is not necessarily what you believe. You can refuse to believe it. You're also helping us together by prayer for us that the gift bestowed on us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given on many, by many on our behalf. For our rejoicing is... Wait a second. I kind of read that and I was like, okay. This is again a case of reciprocity. Of one for the other. You know, praying for us that the gift that came... A gift obviously came to them... But for many, you know, meaning like they took up a collection for them. Paul, you know, sometimes when Paul was in prison, the churches he had served at, they would take up a collection for him and send him stuff. Because, you know, a lot of times, in prison, it used to be you stayed there at your own expense. I mean, you had to pay for your meals. You had to pay for your, anything you had in prison, you had to pay for. It's not like today where we pay for everything for people who are in prison. And I'm not saying which way it ought to be. I'm just saying that's the way it was. And so they sent him. It was very important in those days to visit someone in prison. If you didn't visit them in prison, they would rot there. And they would, they would maybe eat a crust of bread. They'd eat the kind of things that you would give to pigs. If someone didn't come and maintain them. For our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience that is in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, we have had our conversation in the world and more abundantly to you word. This is a singular sentence here, this verse. Our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience. Because our conscience... It's much like the law. It brings us in guilty. But if our conscience is clear, and that testimony, where we know we've done nothing wrong, and in our heart of hearts, we know we did nothing wrong. Not that we are ignorant of the wrong we've done, but we know positively, you know, that in simplicity, singleness, sincerity, you know, without dual purposes, we don't want to be double-minded, double-tongued, having shifty and dubious motives in our actions and words, and godly sincerity. Whereas simplicity has this idea of singularness, of purpose, which we think of as, sincerity has this idea of clarity. Purity of motive, transparency. Even in that, I like the idea of, of singleness of purpose, you know, without, you know, with a, and then also the transparency. You know, people talk about transparency in government, transparency in accounting, meaning people can see what is going on inside. And this is the idea of you know, of behaving uprightly, that you're not ashamed, that people could see what is not only you're doing outwardly, but the inward motives of what's being done. So our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience, that in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, we have had our conversation. I mean, our conversation is our behavior, right? It means how we occupy ourselves in the world. Not simply, like today we think of conversation as a discussion, words. It is words, but it's words and deeds. It's our just our way of life. You know, all the things we do, it is your life, your everything you do. Nothing like that. The way you, every turn of your life, you know, the way we are towards others, the way we think towards others, the way we speak towards others, and our actions and all that wrapped up. And what he's saying is we rejoice because in the our conversation in the world has been in simplicity and in godly sincerity. That's how we've behaved ourselves. That's what our behavior has been like. Single, transparent. No, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God. Notice, you know, we don't obtain or do anything as it pertains to God by the wisdom that is, you know, seems right to man, and it is fleshly wisdom. There's all kinds of fleshly wisdom out there, and it masquerades as the wisdom of God. Because we think wisdom is wisdom, right? If it's wise in one sense, it's wise in the other. What's wise to man is wise to God. But no, that's not what the scriptures say. The scripture says the wisdom of man is foolish to God. And the wisdom of God seems foolish to man. That's why at the beginning, the things I was talking about with the will of God and suffering, and to man, he says, like, well, that's not fair. That's not right. But God, from his perspective, it is fair and right. And I said, we have, towards the world, and that's just the distinction between fleshly wisdom and the grace of God. Because the grace of God is, we are depending on God to direct us, and not on the wisdom that seems right to man, of what a man thinks man ought to do. And sometimes that's difficult because we're trusting that we're guided of God.